a weaker than expected jobs report overall, but don't miss some signs of strength. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Public media listeners like yourself can handle contradictory ideas that sit side by side, so we will press ahead with this. Today, the closely watched jobs report for January was weaker than expected, with 151,000 more names on payrolls, while forecasters were expecting maybe 20% more. Yet, at the same time, the unemployment rate in January fell, suggesting strength. To help us with this, let's turn to our Friday analyst, Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
We already had the headline, payrolls not quite as high as the experts were expecting. But the job market is not dead here.
There were 18,000 new construction jobs added, 29,000 new manufacturing jobs, 58,000 rise in retail jobs, a big gain in leisure and hospitality. In addition, average hourly earnings are up 2.5%. That doesn't sound like much, but the improving trend in the past 12 months is really impressive.
So we've been mainly talking about the survey of payrolls, where the statisticians ask the establishment, the business, you know, who'd you hire? But there's a parallel survey they do. They go house to house, or at least 5,000 of them, and they ask the head of the household who's unemployed here. And there, the unemployment rate did go down.
The household survey is always more volatile, but they found 615,000 new employees this month, and that comes on the heels of 485,000 last month. So households are actually in terrific shape. There's also an increase in labor force participation that suggests some of the people who are discouraged are starting to come back in and look. And finally, for the first time since the Great Recession, the unemployment rate is under 5%. It fell to 4.9% this month.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome.
Two Swiss bank employees have pleaded guilty in New York to helping clients dodge U.S. taxes. Each faces 5 years in prison. Their employer, the private bank Julius Baer, based in Zurich, will pay nearly $550 million in penalties after admitting it helped clients sneak $4.7 billion past the IRS. It is CBS with the rights to the Super Bowl on Sunday. For fans who prefer the game in Spanish, it won't be a subchannel with translation. The Super Bowl in Spanish gets its own TV channel this year, ESPN Deportes. Interestingly, ESPN is not owned by CBS, but mainly by rival ABC. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Let's face it, there's still going to be more people watching this.
It was double covered. They had the defense, but they went for the fake.
Than this.
Touchdown!
But last week, Nielsen reported this season's NFL games averaged more than 1.5 million Hispanic viewers, up 17% in 3 years, up even more in households where Spanish is the first language. Stephen Master heads the global sports group at Nielsen.
Their viewership increased 28% over the last 5 years, which is pretty phenomenal.
So it's not just Hispanic kids growing up in the U.S., it's their parents too. Freddie Rolone is with ESPN Deportes.
The Super Bowl is kind of transcends sports to some extent. It's a cultural event, and Hispanics in the U.S. want to be part of that.
That immersion includes the commercials. About a third of the ads on NBC's simulcast last year were in English. This year, almost all will be in Spanish. Tim Basinger writes for Adweek.
It behooves marketers and advertisers, if they're going to buy time on the Spanish broadcast, to better cater to that audience.
So you put the ads in Spanish. Now, Hispanics still greatly prefer soccer. The World Cup final 2 years ago drew 1.1 billion viewers worldwide. That's with a B. Of the 110 million Super Bowl viewers last year, just 10% of those households were Hispanic. But these are new fans. Marissa Fernandez is the NFL's Director of Fan Strategy and Marketing.
As the population grows, luckily for us, a lot of them are becoming fans, and we see that as kind of part of their acculturation process. There's more and more momentum to put together more specific plans to capitalize and, again, accelerate the growth.
And it's not like some elements of Hispanic culture haven't pervaded other parts of Super Bowl Sunday. There will probably be wings and beers at your party, but the California Avocado Commission says we'll consume 140 million pounds of avocados on Sunday. That's a lot of guacamole. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
We sometimes ask musicians about the instruments they choose, but what about everyone else? As part of our series called Pro Tool, we're featuring people with strong opinions about the best tool for their work. This morning, magician Scott Tokar will spend a few seconds on his playing cards.
Well, it's a joke that we say that a magician must do at least one card trick per show. I think that's just because it's become synonymous with magic is playing cards. They're airline gift cards that are just really crummy to use. They stick together and they're not too well honed. And then there's the Stradivarius of playing cards, Jerry's Nuggets, which will go up for $500 a deck now. I can't afford to use $500 deck cards every day. So I use B-back Stingers. They are put out by the U.S. Playing Card Company in Cincinnati, Ohio. And B is kind of the one that you'd find in a casino. One of the main reasons that I use B Stingers is because they do look normal. A lot of times with these commemorative decks, people might think that they're trick decks, and I don't want to implant that idea in them. I want to use something that looks as organic as possible. It's a very plain back. It's an Escher-like back design, a very, very good register, so each card is intricate in its cut. And the cut feels really good, too, in the shuffling. It sounds kind of rude, doesn't it?
What's he talking about? Pro Tools produced by our Katie Long. At marketplace.org, you can see Tokar's deck and find some little gifs about how to shuffle like a magician. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.